Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We've begun sharing with you on the subject of deliverance. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." The word cast out is ekbalo, which means to throw out devils. You and I, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we are to cast out evil spirits through the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." The words for deliverance and set at liberty in the Greek are the same Greek word. This verse indicates that Jesus brings healing and he brings deliverance from captivity and from all the bruising, all the damage that has been done emotionally or mentally in a person's life. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." What do we see Jesus doing? He was casting out the devils and healing the sick, destroying the works of the enemy. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 39, "He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." The synagogues were where the covenant people congregated together. Today, God's covenant people congregate in church. And if Jesus was here in the flesh and he came into the churches today, he would come in to preach the gospel and to cast out devils. Therefore, this should be a regular ministry in all churches. Now, who is our enemy? The enemy is Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." What does he come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, Satan has a kingdom. Jesus acknowledged that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, where he said, "If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand?" Remember that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. He's called the prince of this world in John 14:30. And 1 John 5:19 says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." Now, who was Satan? He was formerly Lucifer, an archangel in heaven. We saw from Isaiah 14:12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Lucifer means light bringer. It says he was cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations, because he said in his heart, the five I wills, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Here we see Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because of his sin. We see this further in Ezekiel chapter 28. We saw in verse 2 where there was a man, a prince of Tyrus, who sat in the seat of God, declaring that he was God, but he was only a man. But in verse 12, it speaks of the king of Tyrus, the king ruling over and through that prince of Tyrus. And who's the king of Tyrus? It identifies him as the one who was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, who had been in Eden, the garden of God. That's the devil. It said every precious stone was his covering, and that the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's a master musician. That's why he perverts music today. In verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." He was a high-ranking angel, the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He was upon the holy mountain of God, walking up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. It said he was perfect in the ways that he was created, till iniquity was found in thee. And because of the multitude of thy merchandise, eyes that filled the misery with violence. He sinned and he was cast out of heaven as profane, out of the mount of God. And God said, I will destroy the covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. It goes on to say in verse 17 that his heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and he corrupted thy wisdom because of his brightness. Because he defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, then a fire was brought forth from the midst of thee, and to devour him, and his destination is eternal torment in the lake of fire. Now how does Satan work as the adversary against man today, where he comes to devour and steal and kill and destroy? There's only one of him, and he's not omnipresent. He works through evil angels who fell with him at the fall from heaven. We saw in Revelation 12:9, where it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We know from Matthew 25:41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And then we saw in Jude 6, where it says, the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, they hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Satan and all these evil angels that left their habitation and fell, they are reserved in darkness. They can never come to the light. Now, how does Satan work through these evil angels? He works in the heavenlies and he works in the earth. We saw Ephesians 6:12, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. The enemy is highly organized in the heavenlies. There's a network of evil spirits, and you and I are to engage in spiritual warfare against these spirits by binding and loosing and casting down and entering into groaning and travailing in the spirit. He also works in the earth through fallen angels called evil spirits or devils or demons, and they try to get into man to bring destruction. Now, as we mentioned, some people have thought that the devils are disembodied spirits from a civilization prior to Adam. There's no proof of this in the scripture, therefore this teaching is not the truth. If it were so, the disembodied spirits would not be in the class of angels as Satan is, and therefore would not be under his authority. Remember, it refers to these fallen angels as his angels. They are in the same class that he is. They're angels under his control. So these evil spirits or devils are fallen angels, and they are spiritual personalities with all the attributes of personality. This is clearly seen in Matthew 12:43-45, where it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. This shows you that they have all the attributes of personality. They have will, they can walk, they can seek things, they speak, they have purpose, they have mobility, they have strength, they have different levels of wickedness. In James 2:19, it indicates that they tremble. In Mark 1:24, they're afraid of being destroyed. And in Mark 5:7, they were afraid that Jesus came to torment them. And in Acts 19:15, the evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They know people. They know those who are in Christ, and they know those who are not in Christ. So these are the fallen angels, evil spirits that have all the attributes of personality, and they want to come into man and carry out that personality of destruction in the person. Now the devil tries to cover up and conceal his identity in his actions. He uses all of his wiles and his tricks and his strategies. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. He even transforms himself into an angel of light to deceive people. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Because of his deception, many Christian people today have not believed in the operations of the devil and all these evil spirits, and the need to cast out the evil spirits and do spiritual warfare against these spirits in the heavenlies. We must understand that life is spiritual. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Satan is a spirit. the angels that serve God are spirits, the evil spirits that serve the devil in the heavens and in earth, they are all spirits as well. In fact, man is a spirit also. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In fact, God's word is spirit. It is spiritual law. John 6:63. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If your eyes are open to the realm of the spirit, you would see angels and devils everywhere. Now, understanding that life is spiritual and that evil spirits are trying to bring destruction to us, how do these evil spirits directly affect us? The main way they affect us is they try to get inside of us. Remember Matthew 12:43, where it says the unclean spirit has gone out of a man? Obviously, he was in the man before he came out. And he also said in verse 44, "I will return into my house from whence I came out." The evil spirits consider the person their house. And it said that after they were cast out, that they were seeking rest. They find rest in a person. So these evil spirits are inside of a person, considering that person their house, where they find rest, and they want to dwell in them to carry out their destructive work. Well, how are they able to get into a man? The answer is through the open door of sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says this, "Neither give place to the devil." The word place is topos in the Greek, which means a place of residence. What gives place of residence to the devil? The answer is sin, which allows these evil spirits to come into the person and reside there. Further, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night. Revelation 12:10 says that. Now what is he accusing us of? He's accusing us of our sins, which gives him the right to send the evil spirits into a person who has given a place of residence through sin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." How's the hedge broken? By sin. What happens? A serpent, which is a type of an evil spirit, shall bite him, meaning that he has the opportunity to come into that person to bring destruction. Well, have all sinned? Absolutely. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because all have sinned, we've all given place to the devil, therefore evil spirits have come within us. Now, what's the result of sin? A curse comes upon the person. In Genesis 4:7, the Bible says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Well, what happened? Cain slew his brother Abel, and in doing evil and sinning, then in verse 11 it says, "Now art thou cursed from the earth." Thus, when somebody sins, a curse comes upon a person. A curse is an evil effect which is due to a cause. In Proverbs 26, verse 2, the Bible says this, "The curse causeless shall not come." There is a cause for every curse, whether we realize it or not. And what's under the curse? All the problems that affect man. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15, the Bible says, "If you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." A curse comes from disobedience, which is sin. It's the opposite of a blessing and the effect of sin. And all the curses, if you look at them from Deuteronomy 28, verse 16, all the way through the end of the chapter, it includes all sickness, disease, mental problems, emotional problems, family problems, lack of prosperity, national problems, all kinds of problems. And these curses are spiritual. They cannot be overcome by natural means, and they are enforced by evil spirits that come in through the open door of sin. We're going to continue on this very important subject of deliverance in the next broadcast. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.